You're listening to Speaking of Faith with Bishop D.D. Duncan Proby of the Episcopal Diocese of Central New York. I'm Rachel Ravalette, or RomCom, and we're glad you're here.
Welcome to the podcast. We're speaking of faith today, and especially speaking about Lent. What does it mean to keep a Holy Lent? Why do we keep a Holy Lent? What is this season really all about? My name is D.D. Duncan Proby. I'm the Episcopal Bishop of the Diocese of Central New York, which is Canada to Pennsylvania, Utica to Elmira, and all the beautiful people and places in between. I'm joined by Rachel Ravalette, our Communications Director, and we're here today to speak of faith. Whatever your faith may be, you are welcome to this podcast. We will be talking about our faith as Christians, as Episcopalians, but this is a point of invitation for you to consider how your faith might relate to or be in difference to what we're talking about. So in the Episcopal Church, let's get into it. Today, or this time of year, is Lent. And we celebrate the season of Lent as a time of preparation. Historically, there was a time when Lent was very severe. It was a time of fasting during the day and only eating one meal a day, or there have been severities, practices of not eating or restricting one's diet. Many in the Episcopal Church are familiar with our Shrove Tuesday pancake supper, which is meant to clean out the larder of sugar and anything pleasurable, that during Lent we restrict our diets and we focus instead on being fed by God and God's love. Contemporarily, some of that strictness is less prevalent. It has also been recognized, I think, that there's a certain amount of privilege to Lenten fasting. This idea of I choose not to eat today rather than I'm unable to eat today. And so the also a desire to, instead of taking away, to add to. How might we add something to our schedule that draws us closer to God? Because all of these practices, all of the practice of piety, is meant to draw us more closely to God. Also, historically with Lent, it was a time of prayer, fasting, and supplication. A time to pray with more intentionality, to build that more into our schedule. And then, as I said, fast either from food or sugar or other things, and then to make our supplications unto God, to talk about what God has done for us and how God has been for us and invites us into being. Now, a criticism that's easy to make about Lent is it's a little bit the narcissist's favorite time of year, because it's kind of like saying, hey, look what God has done for me, and it's about what God did for me and me, and oh, and me. Of course, the intention of Lent is quite the reverse, is to focus on what God has done for us, that our help is in the name of the Lord, and that it is God who at work in us who invites us in to this sacred relationship. But how we live that Lenten piety or that Lenten practice can really depend on people. My personal pet peeve, I don't know about you, Rachel, but one of my personal pet peeves is just to give up the same thing every year. Like, I don't eat chocolate in Lent. And that's a pretty popular one. And if that's where you are, that's fine. I mean, people have to make their decision and decide what is helpful for them. I do ask people, is it really chocolate that's keeping you from living a full life and your spiritual life? Because often what we need most in our spiritual life is either to give up or take on something that actually creates space in our lives to love God, to seek God, to learn about God, to study scripture, to pray, to offer service to other people. And in this time of year, to be less self-focused than on what God is doing in our midst. So for you, listener, how are you going to keep a holy Lent? That's the question. What this Lent in this season will help you draw closer to God? Is it important to give up something or to take on? And those giving up things can be stepping away from Facebook or not watching TV or coming home on time to spend time with family members or to do self-care, to practice making sure that we're caring for ourselves as people of God. So for you, what would be helpful to you in this time? What is a way in which your life is keeping you from more fully living into who God's calling you to be? And so that question is one that I think, as we speak of faith, is the question to ask ourselves. How are we called to live? And I don't know for you, Rachel, if there's a practice or a thought that you have about Lent and how keeping a holy Lent has helped you in the past or the present.
Yeah, I think about Lent, Bishop, as a really honest time. It's a time, mm-hmm. I grew up in a faith tradition where it was much more, how shall I say, happy clappy. Everything's great. Jesus has taken care of everything. If I'm worried, I'm not faithful. If I have anxiety, I'm not trusting in God because everything is great. Mm-hmm. And I remember even as a child looking around and going, maybe not so much greatness. There's uh-huh. some brokenness. And then as I've grown and as I've leaned into my faith more, learning, oh, there's brokenness in me too. And so for me, Lent becomes a time about being really honest mm-hmm. with myself, with God, with my family, with those around me about, you know, mm-hmm. where have I turned away from the abundant life that God mm-hmm. has called me to and created me for? And where can I show more courage in honesty, courage mm-hmm. in loving radically, mm-hmm. loving in the way God calls us to is often very countercultural. And for that reason, it's can be scary work. And so mm-hmm. practices that have helped me, I'm this year, I'll share, I'm adding 3 times a day, a trip around the Anglican Rosary, which has not been part of my personal prayer practice regularly throughout my adulthood. And so I found some really lovely forms for prayer with the Anglican Rosary. And so I'm trusting that to God, that God will use that to draw me where she sees fit.
Uh-huh. That is wonderful. And yes, adding a prayer practice in that way where you're focusing your attention. I think the importance here is about walking with God. And often in Lent, we talk about a desert time. The readings in our liturgy tend to be about Jesus going out into the wilderness, the 40 days of Lent. And it's patterned after mm-hmm. Jesus going out into the wilderness and having this time apart. And that, you know, we often think of wilderness times as sorrowful times, which they can be, or isolating and lonely times, which of course they also can be. But they are also those times in our lives that actually inform the other parts of our lives. When we have those spaces apart, when we've gone out into the barren wilderness and come face to face with our mortality and our humanity, then it changes how we think of ourselves and how we live our lives. So with more intentionality is such an important part of our Lenten discipline. I love to invite people during Lent as a practice of Lent every year is to write your obituary, which can sound at first a little macabre, but the intention is to sit down and say, what do I hope at the end of my life that people will say about how I've lived my life? What are the things that I will look back and think, I wish I had done this, or I wish I had done that? You know, certainly there's people will joke about, you know, more money or time or different things, ways they would have spent their time. But when we think about what we are doing with our days, how we're spending our hours, how we're spending the resources of our moments, to live intentionally is an invitation to deep and profound connection with God and one another. The things that seem so important at the time that with perspective we realize are not that important at all. And the things we often overlook that seem like, oh, I don't have enough time to get to that, or there's not enough hours in the day, that with intentionality, we realize that unless we do these things, then our days have not been spent well. So a Lenten practice is, in addition to drawing us closer to God and drawing us closer to our own inner life, our inner work that needs to be done, it's a gift in Lent to be able to step back and say, how am I preparing my heart for God's redemption and resurrection in Jesus? What way am I creating space for my deepest desires of who I want to be, who I'm hoping to become, and the ways in which God is calling me to spend the resource of my time? Mm-hmm. Whenever we think, oh, I don't have enough time for that, is probably an opportunity to say, wait, but do I have time not to do that? To think about the intentionality. I was in conversation with a young person not long ago, and they were saying, well, they really thought about going back to school because they wanted to do some graduate work, but they were kind of overwhelmed. And this person said, I mean, it would take 3 years to do that. And I listened for a few minutes and I said, well, I do have one perspective to add if you would like to hear it. And the person said, well, yes. And I said, well, 3 years will pass. And so either in 3 years, you'll have the degree and think, look how I've spent my time. Or 3 years will pass and you'll be still saying, this would take 3 years to do. And that's a lot of time. And so to make those decisions about how to live our best lives based on we just have this moment to live our best life, to make those decisions based on our hopes and our inspirations and not on our fear or our lack of maybe self-confidence that we can make it through.
That's beautiful, Bishop, the way you're talking about viewing time. It makes me think of Nadia Bolz-Weber, who is a priest in the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. And shout out, we grew up in the same faith tradition. she has a quote about Ash Wednesday, which our listeners, our watchers who are on YouTube will be able to tell from context clues that we are recording this on Ash Wednesday because mm-hmm. Ashes on my head. She talks about Ash Wednesday as if your life is a piece of fabric. And on one end is your birth, your baptism. And on the other end is your funeral, your holy burial.
Mm-hmm.
The Ash Wednesday is the day when we fold that and bring those corners together. Because we mm-hmm. don't know how long of a space we have between those
right.
things. And she talks about bringing those together and the water of your baptism mixing with the holy earth of your holy burial. Mm-hmm. And it really brings a different perspective to this journey in Lent, how am I using my time, my temporal range, for John Green fans who have read the Anthropocene Reviewed. How am I using this gift of unknown duration that I have?
Right.
And I found that as a parent to a youngish child, Ash Wednesday's hard when your mm-hmm. kid goes up and the priest makes the sign of the cross on their head and says, remember that you are but dust and to dust you will return. And I want to say, not my baby. uh-huh. But when I think about the fabric of her life and bringing those ends together, I love that we're not shy. Again, it's back to honesty. We're not shying away from the reality of our existence mm-hmm. in this time, in this place. Mm-hmm. And we're inviting with full dignity, the young and the old alike, to consider mm-hmm. how God is moving in our lives.
Mm-hmm. And I think we too often overlook that or we think that we're afraid of death. And people will talk about their fear of death and their fear of temporality. And I have wondered for a while now if that isn't better said that we're afraid of living. Because true living and living deeply means we're going to make decisions that either go against the grain or require us to live into our vulnerability mm-hmm. or invite us to do things that we just aren't very keen on doing. The question about going to school. It's hard to go back to school when you haven't been in school for a while and to spend the money on education rather than something else, or to go into debt, or to do the things that are required. But when we do these things, when we step into those places of vulnerability and commit ourselves to living fully, there is a real price to pay, which is comfort or security or ease. And when we get too, I think, comfortable in our comfortability, we don't really want to go do the big things anymore. We kind of say, I don't want to go to new restaurants. I want to go to the same restaurants. And as we get older, that temptation to kind of narrow our lives smaller and smaller, because we just don't really have the desire to be uncomfortable or vulnerable or in places where we're not completely the master of our all that we survey. Yes. That fear of living, I think, is often miscast as a fear of death, because we think, I'm really uncomfortable talking about death. And that is likely true. My question then would be, how comfortable are we talking about life? And people say, I'd love to talk about life. Great. So what is the thing that you really feel called to do that you're absolutely digging in and trying to avoid? Because I find that those things often are companions in a way. That we know that there's something we're called to do. It's going to make us uncomfortable and embarrass us. So we're not going to do that. But then we start getting afraid that we won't have enough time.
Yeah.
And I'm really reminded, I did a training with an Alzheimer's unit. And there was one of the patients, he did not actually have Alzheimer's. He had been at this care facility with his wife and she had passed away. But he was sharing with me that his brother, he had been alienated from his brother for over 30 years. Hmm. And this gentleman was in the last literally days of his life. They were watching him, in fact, hourly, because his body was just shutting down and he was at the end of his life. And they had called me as the chaplain to go in and speak with him. And when I got there, he told me all about how he hadn't seen his brother and he thought about calling him, but he hadn't called him. But, you know, he just didn't know about, and he wasn't sure because they had had this falling out. And I said, my understanding is that you're in the final moments of your life. And he said, well, yeah, that's what they're telling me. And I said, then when are you going to pick up the phone? Because the idea of really recognizing all of the excuses. It's been a while. And what would I say? And this, that. And he did end up calling his brother. And they did have a conversation. And you can almost anticipate what comes next, which is his regret that he had not called sooner. Because he ended up only having a few days before he did die. And his brother was not able to get to him in time to see him in person. So they talked on the phone several times. Mm-hmm. And before he died, he said to me, I wish I'd called him sooner.
Yeah.
And at that point, there's no saying to him, well, I do too, because all of those excuses we put in the way of, I can't do that. Or what if this, or what if that, we worry about the sky falling, but we're too afraid to live sometimes. And that is part of our Lenten practice, to look at our lives and say, I am not going to be too afraid to live. I'm going to go and do the things God's called me to do. I'm going to make time for the people and my faith and who I am as a person of God. And I'm no longer going to be tethered to just what is comfortable, but more so to what God's calling me to do and to be.
I wonder, Bishop, if this also connects to something else we've talked about, I believe on this podcast a few times, which is kind of the tyranny of the value of perfection, that maybe it's a fear of imperfection that keeps us from truly living. And one of the things that Lent calls us into is to recognize our own brokenness, our own sinfulness, the ways that we are in fact fallible. And so we've talked before about how we try to get around the fear, because it's baked in right to our culture of, we just want to be perfect. We have to succeed in everything we do.
There he is. Speaking of perfect, it's not a perfect podcast, because anyway, the alarm has sounded.
We have to succeed at everything, right?
That's right.
Is what we think. And so a fear of failing will often prevent us from doing maybe from living faithfully into where God's calling us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because we have this false idea that we can be perfect. And we're so surprised when we sin. We're so surprised when we're wrong. And we're almost like, I find it, I think all of us do this, where we'll blow it and we're like, I can't believe I did that. And we spend a lot of time talking about, I can't believe I did that.
I'm when shocked. I think I'm clutching my pearls.
Exactly. And I think God is probably like, really? That's why I sent Jesus? Because I knew you weren't very good at that part. And we're so, I think, not in reality a lot of the time, because we get very caught up in what will people think, or how will I look, or what will this be, or how will that be, instead of saying, you know, I have this moment, and I'm either going to make this moment count, or I'm going to miss out on this moment. And God's call, in my experience, is always on the other side of that fear. We have to step through to get to the other side. We have to go through the dark night of the soul to get to the joy. We have to walk through the scary moment in the valley of the shadow of death in order to get to the pastures of God. Because part of our spiritual life is becoming that which we don't really understand, which is humble and vulnerable and curious. We're so much better at judgment than curiosity. We're so much better at revenge than forgiveness. We're so much better at hate than love. But God is calling us to forgiveness, restoration, love, peacefulness, gentleness, self-control. The calling of God is always on the other side of our humanity and inviting us as we are. There's no fixing ourselves up for God. Come as you are, because God invites you to come. It is right back to that wonderful camp song that I think we did talk about one of these podcasts about the wedding banquet. You know, I cannot come. All the excuses we give for not being part of God's redemptive work. I cannot come because who am I? I can't do it perfectly. And the false humility. Oh, I won't be able to do it perfectly. And what we mean is, oh, that seems like a lot of effort, doesn't it? I mean, really, I could just sit here, watch TV, click the remote, and never be out of my comfort zone.
Never be exposed.
Never be exposed. And God's calling us out to live and to have lives of extraordinary experience of God's redemption and grace. And so we are called beyond our fear to go and to do.
That is a good and liberating word, Bishop.
Well, it is an honor. Lent is such a gift. And I hope that, dear listeners, you will take an opportunity for this Lent to utilize the gift of time of intentionality. Time to focus in on who you are and who you're called to be, on those places within you of relationship with yourself, with God, with your neighbor. May you know and love God, and may you feel God's blessing in you. And may we be, as Catherine Meeks would tell us, just a smidge more courageous and take one step today of intentionality to draw closer to God's love. May you be blessed and be a blessing, and I look forward to speaking with you soon. And speak of your faith. May we all proclaim God. Blessings.
Thanks for joining us.
Speaking of Faith with Bishop Dede is a production of the Episcopal Diocese of Central New York. Our theme music is by Fleece Mob, and it's called A Bird in Hand. We use it with permission. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast through your favorite podcasting app so that you can be the first to know when new episodes are available. If you like what you've heard here, please leave us a rating and review. If you don't like what you've heard here, we're sure you're still a wonderful person, but maybe don't leave us a review? Just kidding. We love honest feedback and questions. You can connect with us online between episodes at cnyepiscopal.org/podcast and on social media at cnyepiscopal. Blessings to you, friends.